Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brody Fest, the podcast where we are watching Adrian Brody's filmography so you don't have to. I am your host, Linnea Bullion, joined by my lovely co-host, Amelia. Hi, Amelia, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Linnea. This past weekend, I was in Texas for the first time. I visited a friend in Dallas.
What did you think about Texas?
I loved my friend's home and her mom and like that, the family, her family and like all of that. But, and I did have the best chicken sandwich of my life in Texas.
That checks out.
But I will say I went to the rodeo and that is animal cruelty. I am sorry. Like when I walked into the rodeo, the first thing I did was ask a person that worked there. I was like, are animals being abused here? And she's like, nope, everybody cares about these animals. You know, like, you know, they have respect for these animals. And I get out there and I watch it. And it's just throwing calves around, yanking them all by the neck, like upsetting bulls.
Like, hot take over here. I crossed a picket line to go to a rodeo once.
How could it be worse than going to a rodeo? I crossed a picket line.
I think it was like a PETA picket line or something. And it was the PBR, professional bull riding in downtown Los Angeles. And I was like, well, I'm going to go. I'm not going to go.
I'm going to go. I mean, I went with my friend. It was, if you let go of your more, in the same way that I can let go of my morality and love Top Gun Maverick, I let go of my morality and loved the rodeo. I mean, the rodeo was, it was a great vibe, atmosphere. And my friend and I were both like, if the rodeo is this amazing, imagine how much fun like a monster truck rally is.
Oh yeah, incredible. Well, and this is the thing. We'll get to the movie in a second, folks. But
I already knew we were going to talk about the movie.
We'll have to at least acknowledge its existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel the kind of a similar thing to rodeos as I do about hunting, which is that hunting. I mean, a little, actually, I'm probably more pro-hunting than I am pro-rodeos. Hunters are, go listen to the episode of Radiolab about the rhinos in Africa. Hunters do more for animal conservation than pretty much any single person on the planet. So, because again, like, you can't hunt an animal that doesn't exist. Hunters give so much money to conservation and yada yada yada. It's like a very strange symbiotic relationship. And a good hunter, like, you're not trying to make an animal suffer. I don't know. Rodeos for me, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe this is something that'll bite me in the ass someday by saying it. But honestly, I feel like the treatment of animals in rodeos is infinitely better than probably the chicken you ate for your chicken sandwich.
Oh, no question.
You know, no, like, it's question. Like, yeah, we have to watch it and we're face to face with it. But anything that happens behind the scenes is far worse than anything you see at a rodeo, you know?
True, but that's like, there is a, I mean, the life of a chicken that is bred to be eaten is about one of the bleakest existences that exists on this planet. It's not a bar to make a standard.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't love the calf,
calf tying.
Yeah, calf tying is pretty hard to watch. But like bull riding, stuff like that, I'm like, they're bred to buck like that. Like, right. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I don't know enough about the bucking bull or the horse. Like, I don't know.
Broncos.
What the horse
is. Yeah. They're bred to do that. So it's like, it's not like they're, you know, writhing in pain while they're doing it. It's just, that's what they do.
Yeah. 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 It's really the calf.
Yeah. The calf is. I agree with you there. It's hard to watch.
That definitely, like, cause other ones was like races, you know, whatever. It was fun. You know, if the bucking is part of their, you know, constitution, that's one thing. But like the watching those little calves get their necks yanked and thrown on the ground, and then they're stressed sitting there with all their legs tied together.
Yeah. Did they do the little kid sheep races?
Yes, and that was cute.
Yeah.
Wait. No. There was no sheep. There was one thing where they brought out young kids and they all had to catch a calf.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I don't think I've seen that.
There was like a square.
I've seen ones. They do ones sometimes where it's like, it's little kids who have to hold on for dear life to the back of a sheep.
That's cute. What's not to like about that?
I mean, yeah.
I love that.
It's pretty funny.
I love that.
Well, Amelia, we should say.
But speaking of what we will and won't watch, and we did watch this movie.
What did we watch this week?
We watched one hell of a film. It was the best thing I can say about it is that it was 96 minutes long.
And felt like 5 hours, though.
It did feel like 5 hours. It was a film called Airstrike. Came out in 2018. IMDb description is, during World War II, 5 different Chinese people fight their way through Japanese Air Force attacks to protect an important military machine in Chongqing, 1940. Now, this film, Adrian Brody was in 2 scenes. One where he was introduced and one when he died.
Yeah, so we should also say that this movie, man, what is there to say?
What are we going
to
say about this movie? So, okay.
It's a blatant piece of Chinese propaganda. Like, literally, like, is Chinese propaganda.
Just, like, making, like, just terrible things said about Japanese, like, Japanese people made to look, you know, menacing, and, like, I mean, it's just, like, it's bad.
But I guess I will say, for, like, the enemy, like, Japanese being the enemy, it's, like, imagine any U.S. movie where Russia, or, honestly, China, are the bad guy. It's, like, you know, where they're, like, comically evil.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it is, you know, we do it, too, but it is
we're definitely guilty of the same thing.
This is of the state in a way that I was, like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and it was, and I was telling Linnea, too, like, you know, imperialist states love making movies where they are, like, the underdog or, like, the victims, you know? Because, like, in this movie, you would get this, like, you know, they were talking about how, like, Japanese planes are better than Chinese planes, you know? Like, that, like, you would think that China didn't have an army at all, almost, you know? As though, like, they were just, like, sitting there and the Japanese planes just kept coming and bombing. Like, it got to the point where it was comical. Every time the Japanese planes would show up and just start bombing things.
Yeah, I told Amelia, I was like, it's like they're Jaws or like Jason from Friday the 13th, where like all of a sudden the Japanese planes are just behind them and you're like, where did they come from? They're just here. They're like crossing a bridge and all of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like, how?
What?
Yeah, no,
it's
that
pretty wild. Bruce Willis is also in this movie. We should say that.
And he gives a great, strong performance. This is towards the end of Bruce Willis's career where he knew that he had this mental decline happening and he took as many roles as he could to just like.
And a little bit on that, this movie was shot in 2015. This movie was shot 3 years before it was released.
Yeah.
So I don't know the timeline of Bruce Willis, but this could have been either at the very, very beginning of when he found that out.
Yeah.
You know, all, it was filmed almost 10 years ago.
And is it just me, or did you recall when the movie was starting, the opening credits, as they were like flashing the top billed actors, that one of them was Willis?
Did you not see Rumor?
Who was Rumor? I would have noticed another white person in the movie.
Well, you didn't then, because she was in the same scene that they introduced Adrian Brody. She was a nurse, and she was dubbed over with a British accent. It was very much not her voice. So we should say, too, so this was on Tubi. Thank God for Tubi.
Thank God for Tubi.
We did not we have to spend you, a Tubi. Dime.
Yeah, we love Tubi, you.
You have saved us from a lot of Brody's films in terms of having to pay for them.
In terms of contributing to it with our money.
Yes, which I guess, you know, they got at. They got us during the ads, but it's something.
They did.
But yeah, no, Rumor Willis is in it for a whole 30 seconds, dubbed with a different voice, which they also did do for
the whole
Bruce
movie.
Willis.
Yeah, and at times. But also, let's, like, I think it's important to mention that the whole movie was dubbed over with English. I mean, it was clear that most of the characters who were speaking Chinese, except for the Japanese spoke in Japanese. But the Chinese characters, when they were speaking to each other in Chinese, it was dubbed in English. So you could see their lips not matching what was being said. But they
were. Yeah, well, but of course it was dubbed in English. It's, I mean.
But no, but why? Why dub the Chinese if they're speaking to each other in Chinese, to each other in Chinese? And then.
Here's the thing. They were trying to get, okay, well.
But then were they speaking in Chinese to Bruce Willis? And then Bruce Willis was responding in English?
I'm almost positive, yes.
Yes.
Or they maybe were speaking I think they maybe were speaking English in those scenes. Because Bruce Willis isn't in that much of the movie.
No.
Yeah, I mean, this whole production was riddled with issues. Obviously, it was filmed 3 years before it was released. People were supposedly excited about it in America. They were like, oh, Bruce Willis, World War II movie. Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? But Bruce Willis in a World War II movie, like, that's exciting, you know? And then not really realizing the quality of the film. At the time it was made, it was the most expensive Chinese production ever filmed. It was somewhere, the numbers range anywhere from like 20 to 65 million, which is crazy to me because that seems really low. But this movie cost $65 million to make.
Oh my God, you guys, I can't, you can't see my face, my reaction to this, because if you saw the movie, you just would not have any idea that it cost that much to make.
It looks like an Asylum production, like those bad Sci-Fi Channel original movies. Like, that is the level of CGI we're getting in this film.
Did they just did they give $25 million to Adrian Brody alone?
That's
and
one of the reasons
$25 million to Bruce Willis.
So that's one of the reasons why I'm like, yeah. I think that they probably got paid out pretty well, as this budget was very high.
Yeah.
The original cut was 5 hours long.
And it made it to 96 minutes for the theatrical release.
So that's why I'm like, I think Adrian probably had a very meaty part before the actual cut came out.
Yeah.
Also, so there's a great review in Variety of this film from, you know, whenever this came out. And he talks about, I don't have the author, pardon me, y'all. But, here we go. Dennis Harvey is the author. So great to have that. But he talks about that when it came out, he saw the really bad English dub version. So I think the only one that's ever been released in America is the bad English dub version. It never got a release in China at all. So this is actually something, if you listen to How Did This Get Made, this is relevant to one of the more recent How Did This Get Made episodes. So this actress, Fan Bing Bing, I think she was one of the Mahjong players in the movie. Like, she had a pretty small role. She was not a major actor in this, but she was the largest actor in China. Like huge, 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 more popular than like any person ever in China, essentially.
Oh.
And she was embroiled in a tax evasion scandal. Which, like, you know, in America, I feel like when we find that out, we're like, oh, you know, dime a dozen for the people who do that. But like in China, I think this is purely conjecture on my point,
right.
But like, I'm assuming because of kind of like the social constructs of collectivism and whatever, like evading taxes is, especially when you're like a very public figure adored by people, is probably a big deal. But so it never got a release in China because of her tax evasion scandal. And she's barely in this movie. Like, that's how crazy.
So did that ruin her? It must have ruined her career. I mean, did she?
I can't remember. They talked about it on How Did This Get Made? Because there was a movie that she was in that got shelved for 8 years. Like, Pierce Brosnan is in it. And it got shelved for 8 years.
In China?
Everywhere because of her scandal. Because it was primarily a Chinese-funded film.
And that's crazy because I don't think America has ever done that. Like, it, like the closest thing I can think of is when Ezra Miller was, like, a kidnapper. And that movie still came out.
Oh, right? We're like, ah, oh, fuck it. I mean, yeah. Like, I guess maybe,
I think they waited,
maybe,
like, 2 years, and then they were like, let's get it out of here.
Yeah, we'll just put it out. No one cares. He's a man.
We might make we might as well make some money as opposed to no money on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very bizarre. But yeah, so that's a whole wild thing. It was shot in 3D, but never, like, they never released a 3D version of it. It only ever came out in 2D. Yeah, it's really, so yeah, this reviewer is talking about, you know, all these storylines, and this makes sense to me too, because, like, you know, I paid attention for most of the movie. I was on my phone a little bit here and there. Again, when it was dubbed in English, I was like, well, it's a little easier to not pay attention. Yeah. But the reviewer did say that, like, you know, and this is something I noticed as well, the cuts are so jarring. You can't tell who's, like, what people's relations are to one another. And it does, it almost, like, feels like a, like, 80s movie in that, it'll, like, non-sequitur things are happening all the time, and, like, they'll just make a crazy cut to someone else, and you're like, wait, what's happening? Like, who, where are these people in relation to one another? Like, it's very jarring.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Also, ooh, here's another random fun fact. Mel Gibson receives, like, a consultant role in this film. Like, Mel Gibson is credited with having a consultant role.
What's Mel Gibson doing touching this film? Like,
I don't know.
How was it in his orbit? Like, it's not religious. It's not anti-Semitic. It's not, you know, like, I can't, are Mel Gibson and Bruce Willis buddies?
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, it's really weird. I like this. All this results in a film that is loud and busy, yet lacks any tonal consistency or narrative center. We're never quite sure where whatever's going on at present fits into an ill-defined bigger picture.
Yeah.
I would say that's a very
ill-defined bigger picture. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, that's, like, the nicest way you can say this movie is a pile of shit and, like, it doesn't make sense.
This movie is a meandering pile of shit. Like, it's unclear. Yeah. What anyone?
It's wild.
Listen, one other good thing I'll say for this movie is that there was one character in it called Uncle Ijo or something. Gio? Tio? Tui. Uncle Tui. And he played a character who's a father whose son died defending the truck that is a main character in this movie.
Yeah, the truck is a character. There's a truck involved. That's one of the storylines.
The truck, a long car ride. And his son wanted to play a Mahjong tournament that would earn his family a lot of money or something. And when the son dies, his father enters the Mahjong tournament. That father is named Uncle Tui. And the Uncle Tui has a great moment at the end of the movie where, you know, there's an unexploded Japanese bomb that they come across, and they're, like, afraid that it's going to explode. And he takes it out to the edge of town because he's like, my son is dead and I have nothing to live for. And he's totally ready to just, like, sacrifice himself to get rid of this bomb. But then the bomb doesn't go off until he gets far enough. I'm just saying, Uncle Tui was really cute.
Amelia found her reason to watch.
Uncle Tui was fun to follow. And that actor has a very lovable face, very lovable guy.
He has a very friendly face. That's all we can say. Just silence. Just silence after that.
That's all we can say.
Oh, don't watch this movie. Chewy. There's no reason for you to watch this movie.
Uncle Cooey, C-U-I, Uncle Cooey, Wei Fan. What else have I seen him in? C-U-I.
I have no idea how that's pronounced. I don't know if it's Mandarin in this film. We apologize. We don't know these things.
Yeah.
Or at least I do. I apologize. I can't apologize on behalf of both of us, but
yes, I will. You can.
Yes, okay, yes, great. You can. I have permission from Amelia to apologize for both of us.
Wei Fan. Wei Fan. Great actor. Wei Fan. Really like
him. Okay, is he in anything else, Amelia?
I'm looking and I don't recognize. I mean, the man is working a lot. He was in Airstrike. His face looks familiar. Oh, he was in Back to 1942.
Oh, that's probably why he looks familiar. Maybe that's how Adrian Brody was into this, is he was like, oh, I've worked with this
guy. Yeah, he and Wei Fan got close, because Wei Fan's got talent.
Wasn't Brody only in, like, 5 minutes of that movie, too? Adrian Brody
he was more consistently in that one. Or at least they didn't leave his part on the cutting room floor.
He was like a reporter or something?
Yeah, okay.
I am amazed I remember any of these movies at all.
At all.
What was it? Yeah, someone told me recently that they watched Detachment. And
Why did they do that? And he goes,
I kind of liked it. And I was like, what is wrong
with the tat? Wait, am I correct in remembering that Attachment was the one where that girl killed herself on the bake sale?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. No. No.
I know. No. I feel like all of these movies are a fever dream now, but I was like, wait a second, because they all like blend together.
I need more context. Why did he? How did he hear about Detachment? Why did
I
he go?
I don't know.
Why did
I
he think, choose? Did he watch it by himself? Did he drag other people into this?
I think other people were involved. I'm not quite sure. Trent, I don't think Trent's a frequent listener, but Trent, if you are listening, remind us why you watched
Detachment. We need an explanation.
I mean, and to be fair, I was like, yeah, but like everything was really uncomfortable, and like, cause that was also the one where
he housed the prostitute.
Yes, okay. I was like, are you gonna remember this part? Yeah. Like, he has a deeply, deeply uncomfortable and like
condescending
not okay.
and like
yeah
and
like not
father
okay
but also sexual like it,
yes. It, a not okay relationship with a younger woman,
and then
oh,
also
God.
He's into. The teacher character at school, who plays her? It's not like Charlize Theron.
Oh, I don't remember. That is something I don't remember. My brain can only house so much information.
Yeah.
All that's to say, we're not going to talk about this movie anymore.
There's something wrong if you like to I mean, there's something wrong. There's something
wrong
if you
also,
like to
I think of his movies is one that was like, better regarded at the time it came out, you know, like people were like, oh yeah, it's like Adrian Brody gives a great performance, yada yada, but again, it's like we're watching it with the context of 2023 and also the context of being women, and I think both of those contexts really change the lens through which you
yeah
see
his
it.
Character had like an unhealthy opinion of his own mother with like all those, you know, like traumatic memories of her. Yeah, that's why he's going out of his way to help these people, because his mom was an alcoholic, you know.
Right.
That was like a big part of his character was his tortured past and relationship with his mom, because that was the only thing to explain. Because everything else in the movie is like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? And it's all like, oh, because of that.
Trauma. He did it because of trauma. Yeah.
They're like, why is he riding this bus late at night? Oh, because trauma. And then that's why he picks up this girl, because trauma.
Oh, God, yeah. Listen, trauma informs a lot of our decisions. I understand that. But Brody, I mean, I don't remember his character's name at the time, but it is like, you got to get over that shit, bro.
It's, you know, I'm reading a great book. I recommended it to you. It's called The Myth of Normal, Trauma and Healing in a Toxic Culture. And Gabor Mate, the guy who writes it, you know, in the introduction, he says, you know, we've all got trauma. And it's possible for all of us to work through it. And not only is it possible, but it's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that you can function best in society is if you face your trauma and deal with it.
Hell yeah. Deal with your trauma, guys.
Guys, it is your
responsibility
being here.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, might not have been your fault, but it's your responsibility to clean it up now. You
exactly,
know?
Exactly.
I feel
you
that.
You gotta
way.
Do
yeah.
it.
You gotta do it.
You just gotta.
Let's see. I'm like, what else? What else? Can
oh wait,
we, not...
we can rate this movie.
Oh yeah, solid 0 from this gal.
Yeah.
Not even a question, just a 0.
I'm giving it a -1 because
I loved
Wei Fan.
Wow, loved enough to give it a rating at all. I'm impressed.
I gave it a number because of Wei Fan.
I will say the moment that Bruce Willis was dubbed over, like Bruce Willis's voice, and when Rimmer was dubbed over, I was like, but they speak English. Like, why are you dubbing over these people who speak English? It must just like the sound that day must have been unusable or something.
Well, the funny thing about the Bruce Willis dubbing is that sometimes he was dubbed and sometimes he was not. Sometimes they used
his
voice,
I mean.
And then the voice dubber did not sound like Bruce Willis at all.
No, but every once in a while they sounded like they were trying to do Bruce Willis.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes. I believe I called it when I was texting Linnea about it. I was like, this dubber sounds like he's Jimmy Stewart trying to do Bruce Willis.
Yeah, it was
weird. That was the vibe.
Well, and the cutest thing that happened randomly was Amelia and I were watching at the exact same, we sync watched unintentionally. What are the odds of that?
That's literally the exact same time. That's why we actually let ourselves talk to each other about this movie before the pod. Because we were just both like, how often does this happen? That we sync at the that we do at the exact same time.
Well, also, I was like, well, we're clearly not going to talk about this movie on the podcast, so it's okay to talk about
it. We've been doing pretty good. But also, I think it bears mentioning that Bruce Willis's best quote in this whole movie was, come on.
Oh yeah, but that was when he was dubbed.
Oh, that was a dub?
That was totally a dub. It was 100% not Bruce Willis, and he's just yelling come on over and over again.
I thought it was a great moment when they had Bruce Willis in the plane and he was smoking a cigar.
Oh yeah, so Bruce Willis flies at World War II,
and I think it's
at one point.
And I think it's important to remember that back then the jets weren't enclosed, like the pilot wasn't fully enclosed, so
right.
Like their heads, like there was wind everywhere, and the idea that he would have been smoking a cigar while flying one of those planes is pretty
hard. Yeah, he has a cigar in his mouth and he goes, "We got to make this quick, boys, because I forgot my lighter."
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. And then that's why he threw his cigar out of the plane.
I noticed that he threw the cigar out of the plane, but I figured he threw his cigar out of the plane because he was like, I can't smoke this out here.
No,
there's
he
too
literally
much
was
wind.
Like, no, it wasn't even that. It was, I can't smoke this because I don't have a light.
What was also really funny about the flight battles is that they were shouting to each other from their planes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like talking.
It's like in Fast and the Furious when they talk to each other at speed while they're driving their cars. Like
from different cars? Yeah.
Yeah, they're going like 80 miles per hour. They're just talking to each other. And you're like, what?
I loved, like, they're like just shouting at each other from these planes with, again, they're not locked in. Like the wind is blowing all about. And they're just shouting to it and hearing each other perfect. I mean, it was. I know it's like a suspend your disbelief kind of thing, but it was literally funny.
Yeah, it was quite wild. The dubbing did remind me of like really bad, like, I guess like 50s movies, you know, where it's like, because the other thing is like, you know, there has to be like good dubbing does exist in this world, but it's like my favorite was when they were dubbing. This is so horrible, but it was like, there was a scene where people are trying, they're trapped in like a bomb shelter and they're trying to escape This is also like, there's not a lot of context for what's happening. This is the funny thing about trying to explain this movie at all, is like, you have as much context as we did, because nothing's connected to one another. So there's all these people like trapped in a bomb shelter, and they're like stampeding one another, and you just hear this American voice actress, like, as all this sad stuff is happening, you just hear this like, like, you know, like, it's very, like, I was like, you don't
when she's
need
trying to
that.
Save her baby? Is
yes,
that,
she's like, oh. I'm like, just fucking don't include that.
I didn't want to say it, but, like, the girl that was doing the voice for that one character felt like the voice was so white, right? Like,
it was so white.
Right? Okay, like, I was just,
which,
like,
again, though, that's the thing. I'm fine with that, but everybody needs to, like, pick a lane, because some of the dub actors in this were doing like Chinese affects, you know, like a little bit like accents.
Or maybe that's just really how they speak. That's how the actor speaks. Maybe.
Oh, because they could live in, I guess they could be. Yeah. But it was uncomfortable because some of them had that and some of them didn't. Right. And you were like, what's happening?
Right.
Like, can we just stay in a lane? Whatever. But yeah, it was like moments where it was not anyone speaking, it was just like sounds, it was just noises. They still had people dubbing the noises, and I was like, I think this is a moment we don't need to dub anyone. Like, it's like trying to be this like deeply sad moment, and you just hear this like, oh.
You just can't take it seriously.
You just can't take it seriously.
I mean, and then they showed us like a really deeply, darkly bleak shot of like dead women and babies. I thought that there was some kind of like movie rule against showing babies dying.
I don't think that's true.
No.
Well, especially in a propaganda
piece. It's just really
piece.
Not done. Well, and that's why that's why it like shocked me that like this movie was even like reviewed, you know, and that it was considered a real piece of film, because it's so clearly a propaganda film.
All the reviews say, I mean, all on Rotten Tomatoes, there's only 5 reviews from professional critics. So like it was, you know, it was not like screened necessarily at all, but they all say in their reviews, like, clearly this is a propaganda piece, like thinly veiled as a film, like that everyone's aware. But yeah, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't even look at Metacritic. I assume it's down there as well.
I mean, it's got a 3.4 on IMDb, which is low for IMDb.
Very low for IMDb. Especially, I feel like, for any movie involving Brody.
Yeah.
It's not well received.
No.
I'm like, I don't know. Have I seen anything good? This is when I always say, have I seen anything good lately? I haven't been to the movies for a bit. I'm going to see Zone of Interest today, which is a Best Picture nom.
Interesting. Let's talk about the Oscars noms. I mean, I'll be like, here's the thing. I don't really care, because I don't believe in these award ceremonies. Uh-huh. Like, I don't believe in the validity of them. I think that they're like popularity contests.
This
know.
Is a very LA take as well, I will say. Yeah, your take on it. Here's my thing.
I haven't said my whole piece. I just had to preface it with that. But if I was gonna care at all, I cannot believe that Barbie was nominated for everything it was nominated, and that Greta Gerwig was not nominated, nor was Margot Robbie.
I'm gonna come in with my hot take, which is fuck the discourse around Barbie.
Okay, I'm here for that. No, I think Barbie is a propaganda piece as well, actually.
Well, okay, so here's my problem with it. Again, okay, we should say Oscars are purely a political, monetary thing. They've never really mattered.
Right.
Especially in LA, like, I've, you know, come to realize that more and more the older I've gotten. But I remember being a kid, being like 9 years old, getting
and
to stay
thinking,
up till 10 p.m.
Right.
And thinking like, this is the single greatest event.
And
on
this
Earth,
is meaningful.
Right?
Like this really is the best actor of the
year.
You know?
Especially like, you know, in the Midwest, like coming from places like that, I still remember how much that felt, how important that felt and whatnot. That being said, like, Barbie was fine. Barbie was a fine movie. It was, you know, did a lot at the box office. It did, like, Best Picture? I don't know about that. But also, I feel like them giving it a Best Picture nom at all is just acknowledgement of, like, this was a very popular cultural moment. Here we go. Greta Gerwig was nominated for Lady Bird for screenplay and director. Okay. Infinitely better movie than Barbie.
Yeah, infinitely better.
And I think my issue with the discourse around, like, they were snubbed, blah, 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 is, like, everyone is ignoring the actual women who were nominated because they're talking about the people who weren't. And yeah. I'm like, can we fucking not? Like,
well, I just want to say, like, I just can't believe that Ryan Gosling was nominated for playing a character that was the brainchild of Greta Gerwig and then not giving her. And then
no, she got nominated. No, she got nominated for screenplay.
Okay, she did get nominated for screenplay.
And she got nominated for Best Picture. Again, this is one of those things where I'm like, one, I don't think the movie is necessarily. And also, hot take, American Ferrera should not have been nominated for Best Actor.
I thought Margot Robbie's performance as Barbie was so amazing and Spellbinding.
That's so crazy to me. I literally was like, yeah, she's a pretty woman.
And here's the thing. What I think about Barbie the movie is that I do think it's like a whitewashing of the history of Barbie's legacy and like for like women. Like, I think Barbie, all that Barbie is, was codifying unrealistic body standards into a norm and like sending that out all over the world. You know, like it was, I think Barbie has been as like a figure, as a brand, as a, you know, has been more harmful to women than empowering at all.
Sure.
And then this movie just completely rewrites that. And like,
well, they try to have a single monologue of American Ferrera acknowledging its history so they can move on.
So they can move on and continue to glorify it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and everybody shows up like in pink, like, yeah, but, and I was just like, I mean, I went, I'll be a, I like, I'm, I gotta be a part of this society.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta be
a part. It was fun.
If you let everything go, you can enjoy it. But it's like, watching Barbie, I was just like, damn, but I know better. Like, this is, it's not going to make me forget what Barbie is.
Well, and I guess my whole thing with it was like, I thought that Ryan Gosling was the best part of that movie. And I didn't, you know, like, and the thing I think people miss with the messaging in general is like, you know, it's an example of how the patriarchy hurts us all, including men, yada, yada. But I did still find it ironic that a movie about Barbie, the best part of it was a man. Like, he just was. He was the most interesting character. Like, I did not find Barbie interesting at all.
But
I was
Barbie
like,
isn't
okay.
interesting. That's the right. thing. And that, Margot that is Robbie kind did of why so I... much with that. Like,
see, that's where I disagree. That's why I'm like, no, she doesn't deserve she's been nominated before. She'll be nominated again. She got nominated for I, Tonya. Infinitely more interesting, better character and role. And like, Barbie is just like a plastic person starting to feel something. But it's not, like, I don't know. I am actually, it's one of those moments where I'm like, yeah, I agree. Like, to me, Greta Lee not being nominated is far worse than Margot Robbie not being nominated.
What was Greta Lee, like, who is she?
Past Lives. She's the lead in Past Lives. Like, and again, and the other thing, like, I'm annoyed that the discourse around it is, again, like, swamping all the other great things. Like, you look at those Best Picture noms, this is, like, one of the best Oscars lineup of best pictures we've had in probably five plus years. Uh-huh. And every single one of them, you know, like people are being like, oh, like people don't try. There's no interesting new things in movies anymore. And you look at that best picture lineup and you're like, damn, every single one of these is an original idea. Every single one of these
really?
Is an interesting film. And this is why I'm like, we need to be like looking at that instead of being like, oh, Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig to get nominated. And also like the whole thing with Ryan Gosling being nominated and Margot not, it's like, yeah, it's not like they were competing with one another. Like,
right.
People were acting as if he was chosen over her. It's like, no, they were never even against each other.
Right.
We also like, we want to get really into like the snubs, quote unquote. Like, I don't think you can be snubbed in it, but, Charles Melton from May, December, 100% should have been nominated. His performance is incredible. And the fact that he wasn't nominated, or Andrew Scott from All of Us Strangers, like, those are snubs.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's a snub. You know, like, I think it's just like, I don't know, watching people be all up in arms about it, I'm like, what are we even talking about?
I'm
so over it.
I mean, you convinced me. I was pissed off about it, but then, like, hearing your reasoning for it, like, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm less pissed now. But, like, I can, yeah. Like, on the surface, it looks like something that you can get angry at. And when people get angry in our culture,
they
turn off their ability to, like, listen and, like, hear. Especially just around certain topics. Like, certain topics are just, like, buzz topics that people can't get past. You know, and can't think about it more deep. They can't do critical thinking on certain topics because they're too afraid, too uncomfortable. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing that's frustrating because, you know, that is kind of the discourse around a lot of beloved movies. Like, I remember when, I mean, this is not like a one-to-one comparison, but when The Dark Knight came out, I think that movie's fine. I don't love it. I told people, I was like, I don't know, it just wasn't for me. I almost lost friendships over that movie because I thought Batman Begins was better. And that was a movie that didn't even have a message, right? Like, I mean, okay, fine, it had a message, but, like, Dark, you know, it's just a movie, right?
Dark Did Knight, not have yeah. a message?
Okay, I'm saying in terms of, like, Barbie versus Dark, right? Like, Barbie's giant feminism message, whatever.
Right,
similar thing now where it's like, people think that if you criticize Barbie, it means like
you're criticizing women. Right, you're criticizing women,
which is a fucking symptom of the patriarchy, right? Like, to be so lumped either for or against something and not allow nuance and not allow whatever and just turn on one another.
To act like any group is a monolith too, you know?
There's a really great article on Slate that was like, Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig were not snubbed for Barbie. In fact, they were nominated, which is, yeah, they were both nominated for Best Picture. Like, they both have Oscar nominations for that. And also, they both have been and will be again. But my favorite quote from it was the author saying, "With all due respect to these friends, I love you and I'm sorry. What do you think Oscars are awarded for? Most inspiring message? Biggest box office smash? Film that I have seen?" Like,
it's the only one everybody saw, probably.
And that's probably part of it, because it's like, and again, they are, it's always political. It's always how much money you put into getting, like, the fact that it got a Best Picture nomination, again, I'm kind of like, wow, that to me is astounding. They had the marketing dollars to do it, but, like.
But, okay, but here's another argument I will make, is that, like, I feel like, they, like, I think Johnny Depp was nominated for his role in Pirates of the Caribbean. I think he was nominated for being Jack Sparrow.
And, for Oscars?
Yeah, hold on. And okay, my point is that it's like they give men more leeway to have a comic role and take them seriously than they do with women, because if
they hate comedies in general, that's broad.
But I just feel like Barbie and Margot Robbie's performance should not be discounted just because Barbie isn't a figure that can be taken seriously.
I hear you. But I don't think the issue is that it can't be taken seriously. I think, again, she does not do much in that movie. Like, that is where I will be like, yeah, sure, American Ferrera can get more of a nomination than Margot. She's just like, she's there. She's there to smile and laugh and whatever. But her character isn't that crazy. That, like, not that much happens to her over time. She cries a few times, like.
And she brings a depth to the character
That's one I'm like, we just had different, right, like, we're right, never right. going to agree on this because you saw that. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. She's just a beautiful woman. Not to discount. I think Margot Robbie is a phenomenal actress. And I don't think being beautiful discounts you from being a good actress and vice versa. But I was like, in this role, like, Barbie is here to be beautiful because Barbie, the doll, is beautiful. And like you, I can't unwind all the connotations of, like, this doll being a perfect, beautiful
beautiful, yeah.
Right, exactly. And so, like, to have that, like, that separation, I, like, never was allowed to have that separation.
Totally.
Because of that history.
Yeah. And by the way, Johnny Depp was nominated for Jack
That's
Sparrow.
Crazy to me. That's crazy to me. See, that I'm actually, like, very surprised by. Yeah, traditionally, the Oscars hate comedies and horror movies.
They don't take them seriously, but it seems like I can't remember. And I would love for our listeners to prove us wrong and for somebody to, like, tell me about, like, a time that, like, a female was nominated for a role that wasn't strictly serious.
Now I'm looking this up.
Like, was Jamie Lee Curtis nominated for Freaky Friday?
I'm sorry, I scoff because that movie is not Oscar worthy in general,
okay,
dude.
And that's bullshit that it wasn't, that it's not. Because it's an excellent film.
It's just like the bar for entry is a lot higher, you know? Like, it really, yeah, I mean, most in general, like, here's one that I'm like, oh, we should have really done it with, like Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids should have fucking gotten a Best Picture nom. That movie is
incredible. I mean, did it at least get a Best Screenplay?
It might have, actually. I don't remember now. But yeah, in general... Oh, wow, she got a... Okay, so Melissa McCarthy got a Best Supporting Actress for Megan. For her, like, friend role, she got nominated for Best Supporting Actress. So
oh,
it happens,
hell
you know.
Yeah.
And Kristen Wiig and Annie Mimola were nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah, Juno.
I'm so happy they nominated Melissa McCarthy.
Again, it's just like the bar for... Here's the thing that I find frustrating too with all of the discourse around it is I almost feel like because of that political nature, like... I feel like the Academy is going to cave in to everyone being up in arms about it and change how they vote because all anyone can talk about is Barbie.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating to me because I'm like, well, what would have happened if we didn't do this, right? Like, I want to see what would have played out if people weren't all up in arms about it on the internet.
Yeah, right.
But whatever. I mean, again, I liked it. It was a fun movie. My friend and I cried, but I'm someone who's also like, the bar for entry for me to say a film is good is not necessarily making me cry or not, because I cry super easily.
Yeah, I
like
love crying.
Any person, if I see someone crying in a commercial, I start crying. Like, it's just, so it's not necessarily...
I've been gotten by commercials before. I hate to say it. The corporation made me feel something.
That's just a sign of good writing, you know? Like, good storytelling is good storytelling, whether it's a commercial or a movie. Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Whatever. That's our hot takes with Linnea and Amelia
it
today.
It makes my day to know that Melissa McCarthy was nominated for Best Supporting Actress in Bridesmaids.
Well, but again, here's something else. We forget this shit. Right? Yeah. Like, no one remembers whether someone was nominated or not. Like, now
they only remember if you won. Right.
Right. So it's like whether or not they were nominated for specific roles or not. Like, who cares? Also, Greta Gerwig was nominated for Best Screenplay. Also, no one talking about the fact that she wrote it with her husband. Like,
right.
I love Mock, by the way. That's not a diss at the fact they did that, but it's like, yeah, it's just when everything's being boiled down to these very black and white issues.
Right,
it's like,
right,
this is
right,
a disservice
right.
to all of us right,
right
now.
Right, right.
But anyway, don't watch Airstrike. Amelia!
Don't watch Airstrike! Okay, what's next?
What's next, Amelia?
There's a film I personally have been looking forward to called, it's a 2021, it was released in 2021, called Clean. Tormented by his past, a garbage man named Clean. Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that part?
A garbage man named Clean. Already, I am in. Okay. Tormented by his past, a garbage man named Clean attempts a quiet life of redemption, but soon finds himself forced to reconcile with the violence of his past.
There we go.
Clean. Mr. Clean? Are we talking about Mr. Clean?
Is he? Adrian Brody's just bald and jacked. I wish.
It's also
the same writer as the dog movie. Right? Same writer director as the dog movie.
Yes. Bullethead.
The movie that I keep forgetting the
because
name of.
Because the name has absolutely nothing to do with the film itself. Absolutely nothing.
No one is called, the dog is not named Bullethead. Nothing.
Nothing.
Just nothing.
Just nothing.
Well, yeah, this has been a long time coming. I remember Clean, I think, Clean was coming out when we started this podcast. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
The end is in sight, you guys. I told Amelia yesterday, I was like, we have 9 movies left or something like that. And you know, he'll keep making them. We'll probably keep doing this.
We live as long as Brody's career does.
Yeah, because we're really paying the bills with this podcast.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but this is everything to me. I identify as the co-host of this podcast.
When you meet people, you say, hi, I'm Amelia. I'm the co-host of Brody Fest.
Yeah, I have this podcast called Brody Fest. It's everything to me.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this. We have 20 listeners. Are you one of our 20? Incredible. Well, we'll see you next time. As always, thanks for listening. I guess I don't really want to invite it because I don't want to talk about it any more than I have in my life. But if you really have, you know, opinions on the Oscars and Barbie, I guess you could email us about it. Our email is, what is it?
BrodyFest@gmail.com.
BrodyFest.quest@gmail.com. It is in our episode notes, in our, description of the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye. Adrian Brody.